Hare Krishna. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers, Text 35 through 43. On the board is 43. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavana Vacha. Pachetasa Mahabhaga. Pachetasa Mahabhaga. Samsidhastapasabhavam. Yachchadhaya matparaya. Mayi bhavam param gata. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Pachetasa Mahabhaga. Samsidhastapasa Bhavan. Yashtrahaya Matparaya. Mahibhavam Parangukata. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Pachetasa Mahabhaga. Samsidhastapasabhavam. Yashraddhaya matparaya. Mahibhavam paramgata. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Prachetasa, oh my dear Prachetasa, Mahabhaga, oh you who are so fortunate, Samsiddha, perfected, Tapasa, whose object is me, Mayi, Inve, Bhavaham, Ecstasy, Param, Supreme, Gataha, Attained. Translation, whose object is me. Mayi. Inme. Bhavaham. Ecstasy. Param. Supreme. Gataha. Attained. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Pujetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion, Bhagavad Gita 8.15, one reaches the highest perfection when he attains the fortune of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mamupetya puna janma dhukalayam ashvashvitam napnuvanti mahatmana samshidhim paramam gata. Quote, after attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. End of quote. Therefore, then, paramam gata. Quote, after attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. End of quote. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness. Shukadeva Goswami says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers offered by Daksha, and thus he appeared at that holy place known as Agamashana. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Kuru dynasty, the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier, Garuda, and he appeared with 8 long, mighty, very beautiful arms. In his hands he held a disc, conch shell, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and a club. In each hand a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow, and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with a Kastuba jewel and the mark of Sri Vatsa. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari is attractive to all living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottama, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods led by the heavenly king Indra, and the residents of various upper planetary systems, such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, Gandharvaloka, and Charanaloka. Situated on both sides of the Lord and behind him as well, these devotees offered him prayers continuously. 40. Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid, but then he was very pleased to see the Lord, and he fell to the ground like a stick, dandavat, to offer his respect to the Lord. 41. As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything, but simply remained flat on the ground. Purport. When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is filled with complete happiness. For example, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in his presence, he said, Swamin kuthatoshmi varam na yate. My dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I am completely satisfied. Similarly, when Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence, he simply fell flat, unable to speak or ask him for anything. 42. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrate in this manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. 43. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Pachetasa, Because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanam Chinnamandasya Ajnanam Sakaya Chakshurmitam Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Mao Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Paschati Satarini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've Pajapati Daksha has just offered these wonderful prayers known as the Hamsa Guya prayers. And then the Lord appears to him. And so here again, once again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're given a description of God. It's very rare to have a description of God in any other scriptures besides the Puranic literature. You won't find any description of God. It's very vague because nobody knows who God is. Let's face it. Right? Which religion knows who God is or about his personality? God is great. God is the creator. Strange and wonderful are his ways. But who he actually is, what he actually, how he creates, how he maintains, not mentioned. But the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas and the Mode of Goodness, they have complete information, scientific information about the Lord. It's very helpful to know what the Lord's personality. If after all, we want to love him, love somebody, you'll want to know about them. You want to know what they look like. You want to know how their qualities and their behavior, right? So here's the description. This description comes many times. Similar descriptions. Here is a little unusual. He's got eight arms, like Nisingadev. He came on Garuda with eight long, mighty, beautiful arms, very beautiful. And the different weapons, club, disc, conch shells, sword, shield, bow and arrow, a rope and a club. In each hand, a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. So because the Lord is inconceivable, he's known as the Purushottam, he's the best personality, there's nobody better than the Lord. You can't find a better personality than the Lord because it's easy. He's the origin of all good qualities that anyone has. He's the origin of all beauty or strength or wealth, renunciation, etc. They're all in him, so he is the supreme personality. That's why we call him the supreme personality of Godhead. He has different personalities. We know the actual supreme personality of Godhead is revealed only in Vrindavan. That is Shamsunda Krishna, Madhav. But here, he's still the same person, but he's appearing to fulfill the desires of his devotee because of their devotion. He said, I am pleased with your intense devotion and intense austerities also. Austerities was probably the prescribed duty for approaching the Lord or for perfection in Satya Yuga by meditation. They would here it's not possible, but this in Kali Yuga. But here he is, very beautiful, very effulgent. The weapons, they all have their own personalities also. So they're very, very attractive. Just like the Lord is attractive. They're all attractive. They're all brilliantly shining because they have life, you see. They're very, very attractive. Everything about him is attractive. His yellow cloth, where he's described, not here, how his yellow cloth is like there's lightning. It's like moving lightning. And he's like, his body is considered sometimes like a cloud. If you get a silk cloth, a new one, not even silk, but satin even, and you just fold it, you can see where it folds is reflection of the light. It's very bright. It's like lightning, where the light catches the where the folds are in the silk. So when if you're moving that cloth, you can understand how it looks like. You know, you see the lightning going through it. That's how it appears with him. But it's very, very mystical. It's very, very intriguing, very, very captivating. Everything, if you focus on any one of the aspects of the Lord, one of his weapons, or the different, the lines like a conch shell on his neck, or his deep navel, or he's got finger rings and ornaments. But whatever you look at, it's very absorbing. You can get absorbed in just one little aspect of his body or his paraphernalia, because they're not different from him. They're all fully attractive. There's his big big garland hangs down to his feet. Forest flowers, Vajunti mala. He has a kastuba jewel and the mark of Shivats. These two things distinguish the Lord from the from the other residents of Vaikuntha, because all the residents of Vaikuntha just look similar to the Lord, the men. They all have four arms. They're all beautiful. And I guess some of them have the same clothes. So it's very difficult to distinguish them. But here is the distinguishing mark. See, separate the Lord from the associates. It's a stuba jewel, which is produced from the ocean of milk. When the demigods and demons were churning the ocean of milk, they came up Lakshmi, and they also had this kastuba, which took shelter on the Lord's chest. It's a very beautiful, some say blue, some say greenish, gem. Very effulgent. And it's got a beautiful engraving of a calf, baby cow, on it. So that's his specific mark. It says it's effulgent like millions of suns. But then there's other descriptions. When he's wearing it, it's like a glowworm. But outside of that, it's all effulgent. And the Marcus Srivatsa, it's on the right side of his chest, and it's just a little, like a lion claw. It's like white hair, little lock of white hair which goes that way. And some equate it to the mark of Bhrigu. The footprint of Bhrigu, some equate the Srivats, mark of Srivats to that, because Bhrigu, he kicked Vishnu in the chest. That Krishna kept that footprint there out of affection for his devotee. Of course he wasn't a bad guy, he was just testing. Right? We know that. The demigods the sages were discussing who is supreme. So they got it down to Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. One of these. We've all agreed it's one of these. Now, which one? So then we have to go and find it. They deputed Bhrigu Muni. Very elevated sage. He went to, he could move about the universe at will. He went to Brahmaloka. And so he approached, and the Brahma saw him. He was very happy, his brother, practically. He came up to, see him. But Brahma's the elder brother. But Bhrigu just completely ignored him, which is not very nice. Didn't pay him a proper respects. And Brahma became very angry. He was very angry. So then Bhrigu immediately left. And then he went to see Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is very happy to see him. Also, oh, brother, you've come. Give him a hug. Yeah, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Stay away. You hang around in graveyards. You've got ashes from cremation ashes on your body, like snakes around your neck. All your friends are hobgoblins. You hang around with all these weird guys. Don't touch me. Stay away. Shiva became very angry, picked up his tree sword. And then I think Parvati intervened anyway. But anyway, he quickly left that place. And then he went to Vaikuntha. And Narayan was laying there, and Devi was massaging his feet. And he walked up and he kicked him in the chest. So the offenses got gradually worse. First offense he just ignored. The second offense he gave verbal abuse. This time he gave physical abuse. he kicked him in the chest. Lakshmi was horrified. Vishnu immediately jumped up and folded hands. He said, "Bhrigu, I'm so sorry. My chest is hard like a thunderbolt. Your feet are so soft. It must have hurt you. Let me massage your feet. You know, I'm really sorry. I made a big mistake. You know, duty is of the is to respect and worship the sages. I failed to do that. I didn't recognize you. You came in so quickly. Please forgive me." And he massaged his feet and washed his feet. So when he gave the report back, they said, we'll accept Vishnu as the supreme out of all three. But Lakshmi didn't forget. And she cursed. She cursed, "Oh, you people will never have my favor." That's why the Brahmins are always poor. but Vishnu, he kept that mark as a souvenir. So he always has that mark on his chest. Even now, little Madhava, the original Madhava, he has a footprint here. Then, anyway, all these ornaments are very uncommonly beautiful. Bracelets, rings. So the ornaments are decorating him, and he is also beautifying the ornaments. So he is the best personality, and he's accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, all the demigods. So generally Prabhupada said Krishna is never alone. Very often Vishnu is not alone also. There are many descriptions of Vishnu appearing, and it's like that all the... Just to add to his opulence, all the devas are there, the great devas, and they're all worshipping, offering prayers. The Gandharvas are there singing, and the Siddha Lokas are in the sky, the Siddhas are in the sky, showering flowers, and the Charanas, and all the great sages around offering Pahima. It's very, very majestic mood, very powerful, all those hymns chanting, and you know, these people in the sky and great demigods, and it's really powerful. That's generally how, and they always accompany him. So naturally, when he saw that, he's a little bit surprised. He says, "Afraid here," but then very quickly became very pleased, and he fell down to the ground. They always do that. And you read a description when the Lord appears. The first thing they do is fall to the floor in ecstasy. He says, "As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything but simply remained flat on the ground." So here he's feeling extreme ecstasy. The Lord's recognizing that, because because the Lord is his ecstasy, the Lord's ecstasy. That's one of his energies, as we know, Srimati Radharani. Anyway, the Haladini Shakti is there in full. in the Lord when he wants to exhibit. And so just like when you feel ecstasy, sometimes you feel ecstasy when you're somehow or other. I've heard generally in the kirtan people feel some ecstasy, or after intense chanting sometimes you feel some ecstasy. So what you're feeling, that's the Haladini potency, or the Ananda potency of the Lord. And what we experience is we're 1/10,000th of part of the tip of the hair. That's the size of our dormant existence within the heart. So the heart of a 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair, and the amount of Haladini in that is not very great, according to mathematics. But Krishna, and then we feel so much ecstasy, right? But Krishna, his whole body is Ananda, Sachit Ananda, whole body. So therefore it's called the reservoir of pleasure. So when you feel ecstasy, then we cry, or we feel so good. You're feeling a tiny, tiny pinch, tiny spark of our own constitution. Just imagine then you meet a million billion times that much Krishna, and his body is comprised of ecstatic bliss. And according to one's devotion or one's relationship with the Lord, then one can and the Lord's desire, then one can perceive more or less. But this is the situation here. That he feels complete ecstasy and he can't handle it. He's like a river. His body is like, it's explained also in other, like currents of ecstasy are running through him, and he can't control it. You just got to drop down on the floor. That's it. You can't stand up even. Says Dhruva Raj was the same. Who else was there? I can't remember offhand. But everyone, every time, they always accrue. When he saw the Lord, he was making all. When he saw the Lord, he felt great ecstasy. He began to cry and fall down. In Markandeya Rishi, when he saw the Lord, and they weren't in an opulent form. The Lord Naranarayan, the twin incarnations of the Lord, they appeared before Markandeya Rishi. They wasn't had this opulence, because they were dressed in deer skins and bark. They were ascetics, and they had a stick and a kamandalu and a mala and some durba grass. They had four arms, but they had none of this finery. But they were also being worshipped by all the higher living beings also. And Markandeya saw that, he became filled with ecstasy. He fell on the floor. Shivas Thakur, when Lord Chaitanya revealed his form, that without prayer, he was worshipping the Lord, but this Lord Chaitanya's lila is a little different. He wanted people to understand who he was, so therefore he started to reveal his divinity to the devotees. Not that they were praying, please, they didn't understand who he was. They just thought he was a Nimaya, and then he became a great devotee, but they had no idea who he actually was. So then he actually revealed to them his divinity, his actual real identity, so that they would be peaceful, because at that time it wasn't very congenial for the Vaishnavas. There was a lot of opposition with the Shaktas, Smartas, etc. So the Lord wanted to comfort them and say, don't worry, you don't have to worry, I'm here. So then he showed that form to Shivas Pandit. Shivas Pandit fell unconscious. We got. Then Shivas began to offer prayers afterwards, because he's a pandit, so he offered very eloquent prayers. Kolaveta Sridhar, when he saw Mahaprabhu, said, look at me. And he turned bluish and held a flute. So he took the form of Krishna. And Srivas collapsed, fell over in ecstasy. Haridas Thakur also. Murari Gupta also, he showed his form of Ram. He look at me, monkey. Fell down. He fell down in ecstasy. He couldn't control. There was currents of ecstasy running through their body. They were laying on the floor, trembling. And the hairs were standing on end, horripilation, the goosebumps. And they were shedding incessant tears. So that's the... This is what happens when the devotees come face to face with the Lord. But others, if they're not devotees, it doesn't happen. Didn't happen to Kamsa. Didn't happen to Shishupal. Didn't happen to Kamsa's washerman. So if some people have that opportunity, he says Kamsa's washerman, Krishna said he in his previous birth, he performed so many austerities to see me. And in this birth, he got a chance to see me. But because the association of Kamsa or something, I offered him some service, give me that cloth, and he became averse. So without that, he said, without the devotion, then you can't actually know me. You can't actually know Krishna. So because Daksha was offering prayers with devotion to the Lord, although he wasn't pure, he still had some. He wasn't a pure unalloyed devotee, just like Dhruva wasn't a pure unalloyed devotee initially. Dhruva's more glorious than Daksha. Daksha is a very, very powerful person. This Daksha here we're reading about, he was a son of Lord Brahma, mental son. And then the whole Leela with Lord Shiva and Sati. And then they cut his head off. Or he was killed in that sacrifice because of his offense. So then he got a new body now. Now he's being born of the Prachetas. He's got the same name, but that was his previous history. So he wasn't a pure... he offended the Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. So then he lost his... He had to get purified of that offense. But still he has this desire to populate the universe. This is, of course, it's inspired by Krishna, because he's a Prajapati. He doesn't have a mother like Lord Brahma, so you can, you know, he's practically an avesha of the Lord. The demigods worship Daksha. You remember the sacrifice? The demigods are worshipping Daksha. He's a very powerful Prajapati. Well, from the Prajapatis come the demigods and all the other living entities. It's from the big Prajapatis that fill the universe. So he's very, very respected, in a very respectable position. But he wasn't a pure unalloyed devotee. And the Lord, he had a function to perform here. So he was performing that function. It was to populate. So the Lord gave him the Shakti to do that. And he gave him... Anyway, later on he gives him a blessing. So you can enjoy this material world and propitate. So then the Lord asking, Prabhupada mentions here, Dhruva, he became actually purified by the process of devotional service, by following his instructions of his guru Narada. He actually became completely purified, and he didn't want anything. Prajapati didn't get that good fortune, but he still couldn't speak. He was so choked up. He was so much in ecstasy. He couldn't even ask him. But the Lord, who's in the heart of everyone, and is arranging all this leela, then he speaks and he blesses and he gives him, you know, the potency to to populate the world, universe. Anyway, that's however it is, akama, savakama, va. But you're full of material desires, have no material desires. You want to, by all means, you worship Lord Vishnu. And that is the Lord's program. He's recommending that we should worship. We should worship him in this chapter. Also, it's mentioned about the worship in the demigods. How they, it's a lesser forms of the Lord, the expansions of the Lord. They have some, you know, they're avashas of the Lord for a particular function, but people worship them anyway because people are different. Everyone's different, and they have different desires. So the Lord doesn't mind that. He accepts their worship through them. But he's reserving the best for his pure unalloyed devotees. If you want the... he says to Daksha, you've attained complete perfection. In other words, he's going to be a perfect Prajapati. He's a great devotee of the Lord. He sees Narayan. So he's attained perfection. There's more perfect than his most perfect. So according to your mentality, you can become perfect. So even though there's some desires, everyone has desires, right? Well, when one's fortunate enough to have the association of pure devotees, then one's desire becomes just to please the Lord. Then you can associate with the Lord with his supreme personality. That's Vrindavan. Otherwise, you can associate with him in other places, where the devotion is not so Krishna centered, and there's still self desires, self interest, like Mathura, Dwarka, Ayodhya, Vaikuntha. These five types of liberation, people desire these Sarupya, Samipya, Sarashti, the other one, to that they reside on the same planet as the Lord, they have the same form as the Lord, same opulence as the Lord. So residing on the same planet as the Lord, they may not even see the Lord, but they're perfectly situated. They're devotees of the Lord, but they don't have that intimate, close association, and it doesn't bother them. They're perfectly situated. It's Vaikuntha. There's no problem there. They're perfectly happy. They have the facility, and the Lord is there. He's on the planet. He's maybe on the another part of the place, and you don't see him, but that's not really a problem because you're completely satisfied. And yet others, they actually want to deal directly with the Lord and see his wonderful personality and how he, like that. So different natures of people, but they're all perfect once you attain that state. Once you get to that Vaikuntha planets, then everything is perfect. There's no obstacles. So when the Lord appears, when they see Lord, that's like, it's the same as Vaikuntha for the devotees. Like Daksha, when he sees the Lord, he's in Vaikuntha, he's in the presence of the Lord. The Lord doesn't appear in the material atmosphere. He appears in the Vishuddha Sattva atmosphere. He doesn't come in the material energy. So when he appears in that Vishuddha Sattva, Vasudeva atmosphere is all around him. So if you see him, you come in the atmosphere also. So then you're in effect, you're in Vaikuntha. Therefore, you're feeling ecstasy because that place is Sachidananda. There's no problems. You can become, that's samadhi or trance. You can become absorbed. It's like, you know, looking at something, one aspect of the Supreme Lord, you become completely absorbed in that, just that one aspect. You can't do it in the material world. You can't remain fully engrossed in something, right? Because the material energy is always paging us, isn't it? There's always something we have to do, some demand, something. There's always something there. We can't do one thing only for a very short time. We can be completely focused. Then always some other things are going to page us. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, old age, disease, hot, cold, all these things. Or even if it's nothing happening, even if you're quite peaceful, then there's your mind, you know, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. So you can't be focused for very long here. But Vaikuntha means without all that, without these pressures. These are the pressures that we find here to keep us distracted from what we're really supposed to be doing. That's Maya's job. So that Vaikuntha without anxiety, without pressure, without force, there's nothing there, complete freedom. So then that's great, that's fantastic by itself. That's the actual feeling of liberation when you don't feel these clashes anymore. That's why liberation is so highly praised. Even the impersonal liberation, kevala mukti, because you're free from all this, kunta. You're free from all these pressures. That in itself is glorious from this position. But that's just the ambience in Vaikuntha. Then there's the variety, the activities, the varieties, and the exchanges that go on there. So that's why, you know, you step in the atmosphere, the Lord appears, and you're surrounded by the atmosphere, then immediately you're feeling so much happiness, because there's no, you don't have any problems whatsoever, no anxieties. The Lord says He's cheerful. Cheerful, isn't he? He has no problems. nothing bothers him. Everything's going to his program. So he's always cheerful. Always peaceful and cheerful. He has nothing to do. Nothing to protect. We always have something to do, right? We've always got something to do. We think like that. After class, we got something to do, right? We've got to go and eat something or do something or speak something, say something. Always something to do. That's the nature of the material world. But here you don't have that. Then that relief is called ecstasy for the yogi, for the jnanis and the yogis. That's their goal, just to get rid of that. They're completely satisfied with that. So you've got that, plus you've got the darshan of the Lord face to face. And he's going to reciprocate. It's not like the super soul. Just a little bit. The reciprocation, that means chit and ananda. Also, you get to the maximum there. So therefore, there you go. You lay down and you can't say anything. You're so overwhelmed in happiness. You don't know what to say. You're just feeling so blissful. You can't speak. So then the Lord speaks, so he touches you on your head with his conch, like Prahlad, Dhruva, and then brings them back to the normal-ish Vaikuntha atmosphere. Then they can offer the prayers, or then they can start this devotional service Vandanam. So this is how the Lord acts. This is how he arranges for the creation to take place, and then he arranges so that we can become interested, find out what's good, because everyone wants to know what's going on in life. Everyone wants to know the big questions in life, you know, who are we, why are we here, what is this. Everyone wants to know, that should want to know those questions. So then he gives that explanation. This is why, here it is. But within that history of the explanation of the creation and the activities and everything of the cosmic manifestation, there's all these personal dealings. The Lord appears there and he's having all these personal exchanges. And his devotees, they're the ones actually, you know, recognize their their position and he's become attracted to the Lord. That's awakened by their faith. And then they become free from this cycle of birth and death. That gives them the adhikar to go back. Full attraction and absorption in the Lord, that samadhi in the Lord. As Prabhupada mentions here, those great souls, they never come back again to the material world, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's the actual purpose of the creation, that the Lord can come here, have his pastimes, enjoy himself, peaceful, he's contented. And he's having relationships with his devotees and the new devotees and new bhaktas, the conditioned souls who are reviving their original love for him. So they're like the new bhaktas. Of course, no, everyone's a bhakta. And they join the Vaikuntha atmosphere, and then they go back. Then you leave everything else behind here. And so this is why the creation goes on. Every time the Lord breathes out, then the whole thing happens again. Until, eventually the living entities, somehow or other, sometime or other, they'll get an opportunity to become attached to the Lord and go back to Godhead. It's like we have this opportunity. How long have we been waiting for this opportunity? I don't know. It says we've been here countless births, billions and billions and billions of lifetimes we're supposed to have been here. But anyway, now we have this information, and we had it before, but we didn't take proper use of it. We've been here many sati yugas also, so with that, this information was available. Everyone is devotees then. But in any case, if one takes full advantage, takes it seriously now, and tries to become absorbed according to our propensity, whatever we can be, whatever our consciousness is, if we're these bodies, then we'll just use this body in the service of the Lord. If we're the mind, if we're the intellect, whatever we are, that's Sanatana Goswami's premise to Lord Chaitanya. Some people say I'm the soul, some say the mind, some say I don't know who I am, personally. But whatever I am, I'm surrendering to you. Whatever I am, I'm given to you in your service, Krishna. So that's perfect, according to your consciousness, and that's perfection. Whatever you are, whatever you have, whatever you think you are, utilize, engage that in the service of the Lord. That's all that Krishna wants. And then on top of that, try to develop the affection by the associating with these great souls, both past and present. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Prajapati Daksha Ki, Jai Mahavishnu Ki, Jai. Any comments, questions, or? Is it possible to have paramat realization? It's possible, but very, very rare. You surrender. If we can actually surrender, then it's... We was reading the other day, a few shlokas ago, that the Lord is... There's some ways, some paths are easy and some paths are difficult. He said the path of approaching the Brahman and the path of approaching Super Soul is easy. But the path of approaching Bhagavan is difficult because it entails surrender. And that we're not willing to do, you see. But the process is much easier to Bhagavan. The process of devotional service is much easier. So that's the criteria is actually to surrender our own false identity. That's the first covering on the soul, you see. So that's the hardest thing to get rid of. It's the last thing that goes. This is the first covering. And that identity is, you know, we identify first as part of this material world, and then we're identifying ourselves as the enjoyers and the controllers. So if you want to see the super soul, you have to give that up. It said the distance between us and Krishna is what I like and what I don't like, my likes and my dislikes. If you can put them to one side, if you can give them up, what I like and what I don't like, then the super soul will be reached very easily, as Prabhupada said. Once the mind is controlled, the super soul is already reached, Bhagavad Gita. So if you can give up that idea of not thinking about what you like and what you don't like. What I like is enjoy, and what I don't like is control. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the same two principles. We think we're taking Krishna's position as the controller and enjoyer. We're trying to situate ourselves nicely in this material world with our whatever faculty we have. So this is Maya, you see. You cannot be situated in the material world. Like an ocean, you can't be happy situated in the material world. A little while, you can get a little peace in Brahmaloka, a little happiness in the heavenly planets, a little happiness for some time in the Brahmajyoti, but you can't remain anywhere, you see. And what is keeping us here is that endeavor, that desire, and that endeavor to achieve our goals of two, peace and happiness. What I like, what I don't like. What I don't like is it doesn't give me peace, and what I like gives me happiness. So it's the same, only those two principles. So if you can, so those two things are what is are keeping us separate from the Lord. If you can give them up, then very easily you'll get but it's difficult. We don't want to give it up. You can't give it up. You can, but you don't want to. If you don't want to, how can you give it up? No one can do it for you. No one can give it up for you, you see. No one can take away our desires. That's our independence, that's our freedom. But we're unwilling, we're just stubborn. We're stubbornly fixed on that idea that we are the doers and that we can arrange the situation and fulfill our desires. From Lord Brahma down to the ant, everyone is doing the same thing. Maya. But otherwise, if you can do that, then it's easy to see the Lord. Good luck. Hey, Lord. I didn't get the last sentence.
You came across, because I've seen it myself, and there's certain jewelries which you decorate dates with. It's like jewelry with a necklace with a...
Kastuba?
No, Kastuba, with a tooth.
Yeah, the tooth?
Yeah.
Tiger's claw.
Yeah, tiger's claw. This is Kastuba?
No. That's maybe symbolic of the mark of Shivatsa is like that. It's white hair on the Lord's chest here.
And it, this
sorry?
This call,
I can't hear.
Is it this call, just like that? Is it somebody's Shivat Samadhi?
That claw?
Yeah. Well, that's symbolized.
That's, I think Krishna used to have one for protection. Mother Yasoda gave him, Ananda gave him one, lion's claw, for his protection. I couldn't hear.
Does it symbolize bravery just for protection?
It's even worse. The lion claw. often you find the Kshatriyas have it, but I don't know what this symbolizes. But it's that same shape. The kastuba is also, but that's hair on the Lord. The kastuba is hanging on his neck. It's swinging.
This symbol is more traditional, or is something from the Shastras?
Well, Krishna wears it, so. I guess it's a very traditional part of dress, and you see some of the kings.
We do it at the mantle on the rope all prayers, double and put to another as symbol. I was wondering, is any description in Shastras or this is just like more folk or tradition? There's certain things in the Archanas.
It doesn't mention that specifically, as far as I know, in the Arjun. Nrsingadevi's got about four sets. Different. Some are single, some are double. He has one with the six, like a chakra, with the Nrsinga Yantra in the middle and Shudarshan on the other side. Be protected.
There's another story about Srivats. Mother Lakshmi underwent penance for thousands and thousands of years to enter into the Rasa Leela. Mm. And being unable to give up her awe and reverence or her identity as Mahalakshmi, then her desire couldn't be fulfilled. The Lord appeared to her, asking, "What do you want?" And that's what she said. "Well, no, I'm sorry, that's not possible." Then she said, "Well, could I remain upon your chest then?" And it's explained that golden hair is Lakshmi as a result of being given the benediction after those austerities also.
Yeah, he's also equated with Lakshmi. And also the golden thread around him, yes, is Lakshmi. And also there's another story about the Kastuba jewel, that it's the Lord's... You know, it's his mark. It's like an eternal symbolic thing. But it's, in the story of Kaliya, the wives present him with jewels. He says they presented him the Kastuba jewel. I think it's mentioned somewhere or other. It ended up in Kaliya's treasury and the... I don't know the history, but it mentions like that. There, Kastuba mani ki de. Okay, last question.
You said that when some residents, they stayed there and they may not even see the Lord himself. So if they live there without so much attachment to the Lord and they live for themselves, so what is the difference in mentality between them and residents of material world?
No, they're perfect. They've attained their devotion to Krishna. They've attained love for the Lord. but it's not that intimate. The most intimate love that one can get to Vrindavan. And so the less intimate, the further away you get from Vrindavan. So that even if you're in Vaikuntha, you can be on a side of the place where the Lord doesn't, you don't see the Lord there. But you're perfect, it's perfection. You're perfectly happy there. You got your own airplane. Beautiful husband or wife. Right? You can do what you want. Perfect. And it's forever.
But isn't it the
same? No, they're devotees of the Lord. They worship the Lord. At home. Yeah, maybe they have a murti at home. They have a deity? They have a deity? Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. They have a deity. They worship. They're satisfied.
But at least demigods do the same, but they are in material world.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have as much bhakti as the Vaikuntha to get them into Vaikuntha. They still have, you know, that desires to enjoy more. I get lost, really.
I think the Vaikuntha is all reverence, but Krishna is spontaneous.
Yeah, and Golok, yeah. Yeah, because it's more intimate, you see. You can't be intimate with awe and reverence. So that's why that's rarely achieved, Vrindavan, because one has to be very have a very intimate relationship with the Lord. Jai Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarva Bhara ki jai.